Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen here on 1320 WILS. As autism continues to be a major issue faced by American children and their parents, new research is helping families to better deal and adapt to the disorder. Researchers at Michigan State University working to intervene with autism as early as possible. Brooke Ingersoll, MSU Assistant Professor of Psychology, is leading one of the studies on this topic, and she joins me now. Welcome to the program, Brooke.
Hi, thank you.
Now, I guess off the bat, I'd like to get a sense of how prevalent autism is at this point when it comes to American children.
Recent estimates suggest that about 1 in 150 individuals have some form of autism, ranging from individuals where the condition is very handicapping to individuals that have much more milder symptoms.
Now, I know there was an initial kind of a spike or an increase in recent years. Are we still seeing more and more cases?
Yeah, the number of cases of autism is continuing to grow, and that is due most likely to a better identification and our ability to identify it in younger individuals. There's not really great evidence to suggest that there's a specific cause that's causing additional cases of autism to present themselves, but there does seem to be pretty good evidence that we are getting better at identifying it, and we're getting a little bit more inclusive in the number of symptoms and types of symptoms that we would classify as autistic.
When it comes to intervening and helping children that have autism deal with the disorder, what has your research been focusing on?
Well, we're really focused on some of these early social communication skills, which are behaviors that we see starting to develop in young, typically developing infants that come online before language is in place, that really show the infant's interest in other individuals and are kind of early forms of communication prior to using language. We see this developing between about 6 and 12 to 18 months in typically developing children, and it's one of the areas we're seeing early deficits in young children that eventually develop autism. So we have been focused on interventions that can target these social communication skills, particularly social imitation and joint attention, which is the child's ability to share attention between an adult or another individual and an object or event in their environment.
So, and when a child is that young, not even able to speak, there are actual indications that they might have autistic qualities, you're saying?
Yes, actually, until relatively recently, we really didn't have a picture of what autism looked like in the first year or the first 2 years, because most children with autism were being diagnosed after the age of three. So really all we could rely on was retrospective parent reports or remembering back what their child looked like before they received a diagnosis. But there have been a number of researchers around the country over the last 5 years or so that have been doing what we call prospective studies, where we bring in children that might be at a higher risk for developing autism, such as infant siblings of children that already have autism, and follow them from birth up until the age at which we could potentially diagnose autism. And these prospective infant sibling studies are telling us a lot more about what ASD looks like in the first 1 to 2 years of life.
So what does it look like?
Really, it's characterized mostly by a lack of skill rather than by having unusual features in this age range. So what we see children by 12 months starting to show differences in their ability to direct the attention of other people, in their ability to follow the attention of other people, in their ability to socially orient to others, and in their ability to imitate spontaneously during play with others. So they're generally using less of those skills.
It seems like there's a variance, though, in general with infants, right? I mean, some may be more interested in adults around them and some less. So is there a real strong distinction, though, that you see in autistic children? And is that sometimes, is the initial, you know, those initial qualities, or do they sometimes change and the kids maybe don't turn out to have autism?
Well, Well, you know, you bring up a really good point, which is there's a lot of variability in typical behavior at that age. And so it actually, although we're starting to get an idea from these group studies that we can see kids that develop autism are using less of these behaviors at 1 year than kids that don't, it's really hard to use this information at this point to look at one individual child because there is so much variability in typical development. And some children that are showing a really lower rate of these behaviors at 1 year of age do seem to grow out of it. A small proportion of those kids actually look pretty typical by the time that they're two or three. So at this point, our ability to use this information diagnostically is somewhat limited, but the hope is that as we start to get more sensitive tools based on some of this information that we're getting from the literature, we'll be able to diagnose it earlier.
I'm talking to Brooke Ingersoll, MSU Assistant Professor of Psychology, who's been studying autism. So when it comes to identifying autistic qualities in infants, doesn't that negate some of these theories that environmental factors, you know, as a child ages, are causing autism in some cases?
There's pretty good evidence that autism has a genetic component to it. I know there are a number of researchers around the country that are also looking to see whether there are specific environmental factors that may impact the developing brain either prenatally, you know, things that the mother might be exposed to while the infant is in utero, or postnatally. So there is research that's still looking at that, and it is quite likely that there's going to be an interaction between genetic and environmental events that is leading to autism.
So if you find that an infant may have autism, what kind of therapeutic steps can be taken that early, or is therapy something that needs to wait a few years?
Well, really, the research suggests that we want to start intervention as soon as possible. And there are a number of interventions that have been used with young children with autism for the last, you know, 10 to 15 years that are starting to be sort of redesigned to be more appropriate for infants and toddlers. So we're seeing a downward extension of some of these intervention programs that have been shown to be effective with 3- and 4-year-olds that have been specifically focused on some of this research some of this information that we're learning about what early symptoms of autism look like. So we're seeing interventions that are focused on developing joint attention skills and imitation skills that would really be appropriate for some of our youngest kids diagnosed with ASD. So they're starting to be appropriate for children 18 months and up. And there have been a couple studies that have been published recently, some work coming from my lab included, that suggests that you can use these interventions with young children and that they can have some very dramatic impact on their development.
How advanced is the therapy for autism now? I mean, children that are born today, is the therapy to the point that they can become fully functional adults, even if they do have autism?
There's still a lot of variability, and that's partly because autism is such a heterogeneous disorder. We see some individuals that have IQs in the average to above average range, and we see some individuals that have IQs in the severe to profound range of intellectual disability. So there's a huge range of skills and abilities in individuals with ASD. But what I would say is that the interventions that we have now are far more effective than they were 30 years ago, and we're seeing a smaller percentage of our population who are without language, and we're seeing better social engagement with some of our younger children than we were seeing in prior years.
When it comes to, I guess, simplifying the therapy that's used for autism, is imitation kind of the key component to helping autistic children?
I would argue it is definitely one of the key components. Imitation is a really important behavior for a couple reasons. One is, if we look at typical infants and young children, they use imitation to learn about the world through observational learning. They learn how to do a lot of new skills. But they also use imitation as a really early, we call pre-verbal behavior that they use before they really have language as a way to socially connect with other people. So it appears to play a role both in the development of functional skills that you might need, learning from your environment, but it also plays a role in the development of social interaction. So our work would suggest that this would be a pivotal skill, that if you can increase the ability to imitate spontaneously within the context of social interactions, that you may see improvements in a wider range of skills down the line.
One last thing. I don't often hear of medicine being used for autism. Is that not a typical therapeutic approach, or are there some drugs that those with autism do respond to favorably?
Well, there are... The core features of autism, which are difficulties with communication and social interaction, and restrictive and repetitive behaviors, tend to not be as responsive to medication as other types of behaviors that we also see kids with autism often struggling with, such as attention problems, anxiety problems, aggressive behaviors. So we actually do see individuals with autism, particularly individuals as they age, oftentimes being treated with psychotropic medication, but generally for what we would consider peripheral symptoms rather than the core features of autism. Although I do know that there are research trials out there that are looking at the ability of certain medications to try and improve some of these core features as well. But at this point, the interventions that have the most evidence for improving the core features of autism are all educational.
Brooke Ingersoll, MSU Assistant Professor of Psychology, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.